So, Mike, two questions. One, are there situations where you would consider ipi/nivo in a patient with MSI-high disease as the primary form of immunotherapy? And secondly, any clues in terms of MSI-stable disease that have you excited, Mike?
So I think that is a real clinical question, right? I think, we don't have an approval for nivolumab, ipilimumab in the front line. So that's kind of the one key question or point that needs to be made here. We're really talking probably the approvals are really kind of more second and more third line, but guidelines kind of allow it in a second line setting. And so in that second line setting, yeah, I think you have the monotherapy or the combination therapy question. I think, cross-trial comparisons, you do seem to have less progression and potentially a higher PFS when you look at combination of nivolumab, ipilimumab. And you showed earlier the 45-patient frontline study, but there's a 100-patient refractory setting that led to the approval that is very, very similar. So kind of two consistent data sets where you do see potentially, I think, this consistency of kind of PFS and response rate and lower progressive disease rate, which is kind of more around 10%. Whereas when you see consistently across, PD-1 therapies, you see a PD rate of 30%. And so I do think it really raises the question. And I think, the perspective here a little bit, I think two points is one, if the goal is curability, then I think it does raise the question of combination therapy because, we do a lot when we think about trying to cure somebody. And so I think that is the real rationale that would drive one to a combination-based approach. The frontline nivolumab, ipilimumab cohort from CheckMate 142 actually utilized an ipilimumab every 6-week dosing, which appeared to kind of improve tolerance. That's actually been seen in other tumor types as well. So potentially addressing some of the concerns with combination. But I think that's the real rationale. I think the unknown question is the question of whether you can do monotherapy with PD-1 and then follow it up with combination therapy. And so that's kind of the real question. Could combination therapy following monotherapy be active in regards
you're talking
to
about a patient,
giving you...
You're talking about a patient with progression on single agent?
Progressed, correct, exactly, yeah. So you have a patient who progresses on therapy because the question, most patients don't progress, right? So could you actually salvage patients with combination? Is that the best way to apply who the combination patient should be applied to? And we just don't have data in deficient mismatch repair about that, right? And melanoma does have some data. So in melanoma space, there is some anecdotal data that applying combination anti-CTLA-4 and pembrolizumab after PD-1 progression does appear to have activity. Anecdotally, we've seen that in deficient mismatch repair where I've seen anecdotal cases where you have combination therapy can work in patients that have PD-1 progression. And so the question is that a value, kind of an option or algorithm that would be possible and apply? And I think we just don't really have yet the knowledge to know how well that would work in regards to kind of a mono into combo kind of strategy versus the question of mono versus combo up front. And so in the end of the day, I think, the real question is really, I think a lot comes back to comfortability from the practice perspective. There is more immune toxicity with combination. I think you have to have a structure where you're comfortable with that, you're able to engage upon that and recognize that because those toxicities can be real severe. And I think both are really reasonable approaches at this time. There is an ongoing clinical trial that's looking at this question, which you just got at, which is the question of monotherapy versus combo therapy in metastatic deficient mismatch repair colorectal cancer. So I think in time, we will have some more data to kind of answer that question. The microsatellite stable space is a space that's been challenging. I think there has been some pilot kind of efforts, which is one is shown here, looking at the combination of regorafenib and nivolumab from a Japanese group that really showed, robust kind of activity. I think the challenge and the question right now is just confirming this in a separate data set. And that's where we have actually had some challenges. So there's been some clinical trial that came out of Moffitt that actually looked at this combination and actually did not see any responders in a smaller kind of sample set size. And then we actually see a combination that was looking at another kind of PD-1 with regorafenib that saw a much lower rate of kind of response and retrospective data sets that haven't replicated that level of response. So I think there's a lot of interest in that combination, but I also think the validation cohorts that have come out so far have been fairly small, but have not seen the level of activity that we see there. And so I think that for me is a combination that's still really under exploration and one that I do not now kind of recommend. I really think clinical trials is still the approach in regards to when people ask me about immune therapy for microsatellite stable colorectal cancer. I really discuss the fact that we don't know what the right approach is. And I think there's a number of approaches under investigation. There's a number of studies looking at novel combinations. And I really think doing that under a clinical trial kind of approach is really the best way forward right now. Though I do think, you know, we have vaccines, we have CAR Ts, we have BiTE kind of targeting combination antibodies. And so there are a lot of interesting approaches, but I think, you know, we're still kind of early in knowing which one is going to be the successful approach for us that's going to lead to an indication or a change in therapy for microsatellite stable colorectal cancer for immune therapy.
We have seen, Mike, some encouraging data combining anti-angiogenic strategies in HCC. Right now, atezolizumab, that same lenvatinib, pembro, and microsatellite stable endometrial cancer, first-line therapy, renal cell. Any thoughts about that strategy in MS-stable disease and colorectal cancer, Mike?
Yeah, I mean, so regorafenib is, you know, an anti-VEGF targeting agent, has some other effects as well. I think the challenge, and I think, you know, Axel can talk about this too, but well, we've done a study looking at, you know, VEGF targeting therapy with, you know, kind of atezolizumab. So at a PD-L1 with, you know, the combination of an anti-VEGF antibody and did not see a positive signal there in a clinical trial. And then we've also looked at kind of monotherapy. You know, there was a prior kind of effort looking at cobimetinib, which was kind of a very exciting kind of effort that was looked at cobimetinib and atezolizumab. And so yeah, I agree with you. There's a lot of different tumor types where we've seen VEGF additive benefits in regards to immune therapy. And clearly VEGF is a major player in immune resistance. I think there's no doubt about that. I think that the challenge in microsatellite stable is that our intrinsic immune response is so low, I'm not sure that fixing that resistance mechanism seems to matter, you know, is kind of the challenge. And I think the regorafenib nivolumab data, you know, it's not clear that it's a VEGF-driven effect in regards to why we're seeing that kind of level of activity, which again, I would reset and say it appears to be much lower than that initial Japanese trial that we just showed.